This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Hi, how you doing? Welcome to the Gospel of Kinnison, episode 207, brought to you the week of May 5th, 2024. I'm your host. My name is James Kinnison. Welcome to my personal audio journal. I don't know what other kind of journal it would be. Maybe I should just say, welcome to my audio journal. You know, I think it's understood that it's personal. You know, that it's about me. So anyway, welcome to it. If it's your first time, I'll give you a moment to find something else to listen to. But if you're a regular listener, thank you so much for hanging in there and for tuning in. Some of you who have sharp ears will realize this is episode 207 and it's the second one. Because last week I said 207 and it was 206 because I've never podcasted before and I don't know what I'm doing apparently. So this week I realized I'm a terrible sports dad. Terrible. Okay, I hate sports, all right? Everybody knows this. If you know James, you know he knows nothing about sports, and I'm talking about all of them, like bowling, I guess that's a sport, football, basketball, tennis. It's all pointless to me. It doesn't make sense. So naturally, my children have always been very involved in sports. My daughter played 3 sports. She played basketball, volleyball, and soccer. So year round, pretty much always having some sports to go to. And so Jay, my son, he runs track and does cross country and he plays volleyball. So I guess he's a 3-sporter too. School is almost over. Summer is almost here. The season is almost over. Well, anyway, I was sitting at a volleyball game the other day. And so what the deal is, if you're not familiar with volleyball, and I go to a lot of them and I still don't know all the rules and stuff, but they can play as few as 3 games, whole games, or as many as 5 whole freaking games. It just depends on who wins the most. Okay. So the deal is that makes me a bad sports dad is I was watching my son play. I'm excited to see him play. I love to see him play. I love to be there for him. I'm not there for anybody else. I'm not there for his team. I'm not there to support his school. I'm there because I have a son. And if I were the son, I would want my dad to watch me play. And so I am there, not because I love it, and not because I'm a good dad, but because I'm a great dad. No, I'm a good dad. So I go. But I'm a terrible sports dad. First of all, I don't holler any advice at all. And I don't clap every time something happens. Like, I do pay attention. I do stay off my phone. But what really makes me a terrible sports dad, and I think you'll agree, is that I don't care who wins. I just care that one team wins a lot so that there's only three games. And so when the other team won once, I was like, that's sad. Maybe Jay's team will win the next one, right? And they did not. They did not win the next one. And then Jen tells me if they win the third one, then there will be a fourth and a fifth game. And so suddenly I am on the other team's team. I silently root for them to kick my son's team's butt. And that, my friends, is what makes me a terrible sports dad. So I thought you might get a kick out of that. Life updates. Lots of stuff to go through today. I start my new job tomorrow and I am a little nervous. I've kind of compartmentalized it and packed it away and not worried about it. But now that it's freaking going to be tomorrow, it's a little nerve-wracking. So I have pre-existing appointments and stuff. I have moved some of them, like counseling. I had counseling tomorrow at 10 a.m. I'm moving that to Sundays. But I have a couple of, I had a doctor's visit and I managed to move it to a video call. But it's during work hours because they get done at their office at 3:30. So I'm a little nervous. I have, you know, pre-existing things. Like in August, we have tickets bought to go to somewhere in Florida for a vacation. I don't even, it's not Dylan. Who's the guy that does the YouTube, Smarter Every Day? It's not Dylan. It's Dillard. No, gosh, no. Dillard is a place, but that's not where we're going. Dillard is nothing. If you're from Dillard, you know this. Dyson? No, it doesn't matter. But we're going to somewhere in a part of Florida I've never been to. I think it's called the Panhandle, but it's the straight part where Tallahassee is and stuff that nobody goes to that's in the straight up and down part of Florida. But I hear they call it the Redneck Riviera, and I can get down with some rednecks, you know, on the beach. So we're a little excited about that. But anyway, it's pre-existing and I have to submit all that to him and let him know. Also, I eat five small meals a day and they only have a half hour for lunch, you know, as a break. And I'm going to need to either eat on the go, which I don't know if it's allowed around machines and stuff, or I'm going to need to take a little 5-minute break to eat a little something. So I sent him an email. I sent the boss an email and he said we'd talk about it on Monday. And you know how Tone is with emails and stuff. So I don't know if I've already ticked him off or if he just literally just meant, you know, let's just talk about it on Monday. No big deal. Nothing to worry about. You shouldn't worry about this, James. It's the weekend. Enjoy your weekend. You know, he could have, yeah, it could be something like that, but I don't know. The only other thing I've been nervous about once I thought about it was my feet. So if you followed me back when I worked at Chick-fil-A to see if I could hold down a job, I tried to work for 8 hours and my feet literally wouldn't handle it. Like, and then I tried to quit and they put me to part-time doing 4 hours a day. And that was tolerable. So now I'm at an 8-hour a day job where a third of my job is drawing signs, a third of my job is producing and putting together signs, and a third of my job is installing signs. There's going to be a lot of feet time involved, right? You know, 2/3 of the time I'm not going to be sitting in a chair. So I got really nervous about my feet. And so I told Jen yesterday and it stressed her out a tiny bit because she's like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. But then she thought of it and we went to the mall and we found some comfy shoes. I think they're called Hosa, H-O-S-A. I don't think it matters. I don't know. But they have lots and lots of cushioning in the soles, like a lot more than normal. So I don't know if they're old people's shoes. I told the guy that was trying to help us out, I don't care what they look like. I don't care if they're a brand or not. I don't care what color they are. I just want to be able to stand up for 8 hours a day and walk around and stuff. So I am significantly lighter than I was at Chick-fil-A, for one. So I don't think I have too much to worry about. And then secondly, I walk 30 minutes a day, 6 days a week. And so I think that's going to help. Also, I'm not going to be standing still. At Chick-fil-A, you stood in front of a station and you just worked. You know, you might hobble from one foot to the other, but more often than not, you were just staying still. And I think that hurts everybody after a while, just to stand there. I don't know. But I'm a lot lighter now, so I'm hoping that I'm worried about nothing. I got my new shoes, my comfy shoes, my possibly old people orthopedic shoes, and I think things are going to be okay. So if you guys are ones that pray for me, and I know there's some out there that do pray for me, you don't have to pray for my feet. Just pray that I will. Here's been my prayer for this situation, is that first of all, I will live up to the hype, because I really sold myself on to this guy. I didn't lie. I didn't exaggerate, but I told him I was worth, you know, a certain amount of money an hour. And so, you know, he said, well, we'll see. And, I want to live up to the hype. I want to mix and mingle well with my coworkers and be a blessing to them. They're younger, and I want to be a blessing to my boss and his business. So that's my prayers. So if you pray for James, just kind of throw something like that in. You don't have to do all the details. Just say, bless James and his new job. Amen. You know, like, amen, because that's probably your whole prayer. You just pray for me and then that's it. That's all. That's good. I like that. It's the James prayer. So we're obviously in the market for a car. And because we have three drivers now, so we were looking around on Facebook Marketplace, and we're in a weird spot, because when you start wanting to spend between $6,000 and $8,000 for a car, you start getting into the realm of cars that are 100+ thousand miles of wear and tear. And you get into the scam car world. Like, there was one that I was really interested in, and it looked good, and the price was right, and the mileage was low, and it was to the point that I said, you know, give me the VIN number and let me run a CarMax thing on it. And homeboy had been in an accident, and the whole front end had been tore up. So I mailed him. I said, you know, this doesn't necessarily kill the deal. The airbags didn't deploy, I'm thinking, you know, because it was in there in the report. So maybe it's just superficial damage. They replaced some panels. It's probably not a big deal. But I started messaging back, hey, it's been an accident. You know, tell me a little bit about it and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't, you know, and they quit writing me back. So they're looking for somebody to buy it. Just sight, scene, and that's it, you know? So I spent $40 on a stupid report that just talked me out of a car. But I guess, you know, you'd say that was money well invested, because I didn't go buy a lemon, you know? But I called my brother, because he works now, I think, for a Ford dealership. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to call him, because he lives and works in this world. And I says, David, I'm looking for a car. And, you know, my logic was that if it's cheap enough, if he gets maybe one on a trade-in deal and it's really cheap, you know, kind of deal, maybe he could email me or call me, and I'd fly down there and drive the thing home. You know, I get to see my brother. I get a road trip in there, I catch up on some podcasts. Well, he says, you know what? I've got this Nissan, which is my favorite brand right now. He says, I got this Nissan Xterra that is burning oil, and I was just going to give it away or sell it for like $500. I said, dude, put that thing in the shop. And as long as it's under $2,000, we'll pay for the repair. And if it's more than that, I'll pay for the cost of them looking at it. And I'll fly down there, pick it up, drive it home. So we're kind of crossing our fingers right now and hoping that this will work out, because I would love to have my son in an SUV, you know, as far as safety goes and all that. And it's a cheap car, dude. Can you imagine? It might just be the head gasket. If it's a head gasket, it's going to be really cheap. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. I'm very hopeful, because at least I'm getting it from somebody I know. You know what I mean? So I got some sad news, and it's not really sad news to anybody but me, but Five Iron Frenzy, my favorite band of all time, is having a concert, and they announced it, and they're playing all their old music from the 90s. And it was in Nashville. And I said, I told my wife, I'm like, you know, it's in Nashville. I would just love to go, but it's in Nashville. She says, Nashville is only 5 hours from here. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go look it up. Well, I just looked it up right before the show, while I was putting the show notes together. And it is June 28th, Friday, the day before June 29th, Saturday, which is NarthexCon. There is no way I could drive down there, do an 8 o'clock concert that's probably going to go to midnight, and then drive back and then be in any kind of shape to do NarthexCon, which, as you know, is our biannual meetup that we do. So I am a little sad that I'm not going to see Five Iron Frenzy live. I've never seen them live. They've always been my favorite. That's not true. I walked through a club. I guess they call them clubs, but I don't want you to think it was a club. It was like a place where they do shows, and they were playing, and I didn't know them. And I walked through the place to go to the bathroom and walk back out, and I saw Reese Roper. I saw Jeff the Girl. I saw the guys playing the brass instruments. It's so sad that I didn't know them until later. I just didn't even care. And But anyway, I'm not going to see them. So, you know, when you're praying for me, pray for my new job, you know, don't pray for my feet, and pray for James feeling sad and depressed about not being able to see Fire and Frenzy. So another little life update is we went to church today. We've been trying to go for the last 3 weeks, but we just hadn't made it out, I guess. We're bad Christians, as you well know. But no, we've been part of Novation Church for years, and it is what we call a micro church. Just a few families that meet together, and we have been doing less of that lately and more outreach stuff. And so we are partnering with a church in the area and coming under their leadership. And so Jen and I decided, well, why not? Why don't we just start going to that church? And so we showed up for the 11 o'clock service, and we're sitting by ourselves. And Jen's like, I wonder if this friend of ours is going to be here. And if she's going to be here, David, my friend, is probably going to be here. And then she turns around and she goes, there's David. And then there comes Tiffany. And then there comes the other couple that's part of our group. So almost everybody showed up and had the same idea that we did. And the church service was good. The guy I don't have his name memorized, but he did a good job. We talked about the Old Testament versus the New Testament. I say verses, but you know, they're not. But he kind of did kind of compare and contrast them, because what's up with the don'ts and do's in the Old Testament versus living by faith in the New Testament? And if I were to break it down like I used to for children's church, his sermon was basically that the rules aren't cages that keep you locked in. They are fences that keep the bad stuff out. And there comes a point in your life where you need, well, at first, you need external forces to help you to behave. You know what I'm saying? The Ten Commandments, the Bible, the sermons and all that kind of stuff. But as you grow and mature as a Christian, your heart evolves and becomes more Christ-like, and you begin to get your morality from the inside. And he was real heavy on how we don't get brownie points from God for being moral. And that's good. And some of you may disagree at the face, but the whole thing about you can't do anything that makes God love you more because he already loves you so much, you know? And we're not saved by works, right? So there's that I'll back it up with. And then there's nothing that you can do that will make God love you less. And so there's grace and all that as well. And it's not based on your works or your lack of works and stuff. And this is something that I've learned through my depression. And it took so many years for me. I mean, only recently did I start believing it again, that God just loves me for me. She likes me for me, not because I look like Sandy Crawford. I don't know. I don't remember the song, but it was a good song. Another object lesson I used to use with that was talking about, especially in context of the outside influences helping you to be moral, is I would use a balloon and a dart, and then I would put a baseball helmet on it. On the balloon. And I would say, this is representative of the rules and regulations that your parents have for you. They tell you not to play in the road. They tell you to do your homework. They tell you not to hit your brother. And then I'd take that dart and I'd say, see, there's all this stuff that's trying to get at you. But when you obey your parents and you're covering yourself with protection. Bah, bah, bah. And I said, but there's some of you that think you know better and you go play in the street and you hit your brother and you tease people at school and you don't do your homework. And I take that helmet off and pop, you know. So no object lesson is perfect. I mean, kids aren't going to explode if they don't, you know, finish their dinner or something like that. But you get the point. It proves, though, and it really illustrates that outside influence that we need. And that's what the Old Testament was about. The do's and the don'ts were about helping mankind basically to be able to, basically for God to be able to stand to be in their presence, really. I mean, if you get down to it, all the rules and regulations. But it was about do's and don'ts because there was, you know, grace and faith and all that kind of stuff were new covenant things. So anyway, so we went to church today and it was decent. It was good. We sat down. There's an elevated part with fold down theater chairs that it seems like all the young people sit in. And we sat down on the floor with all the old people. And Jen's like, we're not going to stay anonymous at this church. And I'm like, we can if we sit with the old people. Because they will say hi to us, but they will never ask us out for lunch. They will never ask us over to their house. That's just not what boomers do, you know? And she's like, you're right. So we're going to sit with the old people. Plus we had all these people from our church sit with us today. So that was really good. There's two kinds of churches. Did you know? I mean, you can fundamentally take every church and put them in two categories if you're cool. Like me. There are churches that are bright and shiny and have all their lights on, right? Those are what I kind of think of as older fashioned churches. And that's fine. I've been to plenty of churches with all the lights on. I got married in a church with all the lights on. But then there's churches that have church in the dark. You know, they turn down the lights. They have a hazer going. They have lights on the stage. They have a backdrop that's lit up, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I've decided I like church in the dark because it's easier to see your phone. Yeah. Okay, I'm not on my phone all the time, but it is easier to see your phone when you need to look at it. Health updates. Okay. I am allowed to pick things up now. So I picked up my fake daughter today. She's my friend's kid. And she is heavy. She's heavier, literally, than she was a couple of months ago. The girl has grown. And I told her right off the bat, you are heavy. And so even though this is nice and we're having a great time, it's not going to last for very long because you're huge. And I think childhood is the only time you can tell a woman that they're huge and they think it's a wonderful thing. So kids want to be big, you know, and she enjoyed her time in my arms. And I enjoyed the time where I got to put her down and we all went to lunch. So health updates, the scale is still going down. I'm at 245 now. So I lost 3 pounds last week. So still going down. I fit into these shorts that I haven't been able to wear in a few years. And they're nice shorts. I bought them when I had lost some weight. And one of the pair is like dark camouflage, like black camouflage with gray, you know, and stuff in it. And they're so cool. And they're cargo shorts. And they're so cool because all the teenagers are wearing them. Not really just old people like me, Gen Xers, that still think cargo shorts are awesome because they are. And I wore them and I have the widest legs in history. And I didn't realize that until I got to my son's volleyball game. And then I felt ashamed. I felt a little ashamed, not for my own sake, because I don't care, but for him. I feel like he, you know, if somebody pointed out, hey, is that your dad over there glowing in the dark? You know, is that your dad over there with the reflector legs? He would be a little ashamed of me. And I like embarrassing him, but I don't want him to be ashamed of me, you know? So, but I'm wearing a pair of shorts today from the same time frame. Like I bought them when I was skinnier, and I put them on. And I'm carrying some stuff up the stairs and daggum if they don't slip down halfway down my butt like I'm some sort of thug. And I'm walking this crab walk with my knees out at 90 degrees from or 180 degrees from each other, 90 degrees individually, I guess, up the stairs to try to keep my pants on. And I made it. I made it to the counter with these packages and it was able to hike up my pants. I pulled my phone out of my pants. I think the phone was the problem. If I keep the phone out of the pants pocket, they can hover. But I'm telling you, I don't know what these are, but they used to not even come together. Like there would be 4 inches of not making it to closing them up. And now they're falling off of me. So I'm on cloud 9. You know, so it has changed so much. The surgery was expensive, but was it worth it? Absolutely. A friend of mine, John Wilkerson, online, I posted a picture of myself before and after when I was at my heaviest versus where I'm at now. And one was from a couple years ago when I was 318 pounds. And now, like I said, well under 250 at 245. I posted side-by-side pictures, and I'm not even done yet. That's the thing. I'm still going to get skinnier, still going to get smaller. But he sent me a personal PM, a direct message, I guess, and said, you know, just very affirming things. But one thing he pulled out, he says, I've had friends that have had the surgery and haven't had the success that you've had. So he said, I know, basically the gist of it was, I know that there's a lot of work, even though you call it cheating. And I appreciated that because it is cheating, but there is a lot involved because once you get the surgery, it doesn't automatically cure you from overeating. You could still do it if you want. And it doesn't cure you from eating bad things. You could still eat bad things if you want. But today at lunch, I got the kids' chicken tenders grilled. And I got a small bowl of fruit. I ate half the fruit. I ate one chicken tender and I'm full. Last night for dinner, I had 3 ounces, count them, 3 ounces in a baby bowl that was left over from my toddler's time at the table. 3 ounces of spaghetti and sauce. And I looked at it and I was so sad, but I ate it and I was so full. So my brains and my eyeballs need to get used to, you know, seeing these portions as a full meal. So it's weird. It's weird. But if I wanted to, I could freaking stuff myself and get my stomach all stretched back out. If I wanted to, I could eat ice cream and stuff that wasn't good for me. You know what I eat right now? I eat ice cream. It's called Halo Top, I think is what it's called. It comes in a little quart, maybe. And the whole quart is like 280 calories. And I take a spoon when I want something sweet and I scrape off, it's hard frozen. I scrape off the top. There was one, scrape off top, two, scrape off top, three. And that's it. I get the taste. I get the flavor. I get satisfied. And that's it. And so I don't even know how many calories that would be. Maybe 10, you know? I don't know. But it takes me a month to go through that little thing. And on the side note, my own sister texted me and she said that I've inspired her to eat less. And I sent her some helpful messages. I said, well, the trick is to get smaller portions, to eat slowly, and take tiny bites. I said, the other trick is getting surgery. So she's like, LOL, right? And I'm like, yeah. So I offered her, you know, a nice supportive brotherly retort, I guess. I don't know what the word would be. Podcast world, big part of my life. You know, I'm really interested to see how podcasting works in relation to my new job. I really need to sit down with a Google Doc and go through my weekly schedule and make sure that I make time for show prep and all that kind of stuff. Thursday nights are still sacred for that story show. Typically, Jen and I sit down on Monday nights and record We're Both Right. But I'm really kind of thinking about getting back into the show that I did, the religious show called Not Quite Christlike. And I don't know. But I've sold some of my equipment. The power conditioner is gone. I sold that joker for $40. The mixer is probably going to be sold on Tuesday, unless it sells on eBay before that. I decided to keep the boom arms that I was trying to sell for $60 a piece. First of all, I messed with them and they're a little, they make noise now. And I used them for like 10 years. Okay. So I got my money's worth out of them. So what I did, because I talked to you last week at length about the most boring thing. I talked to you about the webcam position issue, right? Well, I realized that I could take one of those boom arms, put it on the edge of the desk and stretch it all the way across to the middle of the screen, exactly where it needs to be. And all I had to do was pay $6 for a little adapter that would go on the microphone screw part and turn it into one of those camera screw parts. Because if you've ever put a camera on a tripod, you know it's a smaller screw. It's a lot smaller than the screw on top of a mic stand. So $6, I actually got two of them. I hate that I had to buy two because I could have got one for $3, but they don't sell just one. But it's all solved now. My problem is solved and I didn't have to spend anything. I spent $6. So hooray, hooray, hooray. Yeah, so it's great. I found something. Still in the podcast world here, I was going through archives because I have a backup drive that is full of things that I know are duplicates because I had several hard drive failures. And when I restored them, I just dumped them all on this drive in random places. And I know I have at least three copies of almost every photo I've ever taken of my kids. And I'm working on trying to go through them. There's software involved, but some of it's hardware. So I have a program called WinDirStat, WinDirStat. And what it does is it makes a graphical representation of a hard drive or a folder. and it shows you every single file, but it sizes the boxes in the graphic by how big, you know, how much space it's taken up on the hard drive. So you can easily see, you know, maybe some videos that you took that aren't worth a crap, or something you downloaded 10 years ago that somehow ended up on that backup drive that you don't need anymore. So I was doing stuff like that, and I came across a pretty big audio tidbit, and I started playing it, and dang it, if it wasn't a sermon that I didn't even know, I thought it was lost to time. It was one of my favorite sermons that I've ever preached. And it was before I really got, it was right before the bottom dropped out at the church in Florida, right before I got darkly, deeply depressed. And I had forgotten so much of that sermon. It's about Daniel, or no, not Daniel. It's about the Coat of Many Colors kid. I'm so old. Joseph, okay, dadgum. I had myself convinced it was a D word, so I was just keeping going through D words. I'm like, there's only so many D names in the Bible. So Joseph, it was about him and how cocky he was as a child, you know, and how he was this big interpreter of dreams and how he rubbed it in his brother's face. And it was about favor and how your gifts used wrong will rob you of your favor. And then it just kind of goes on and on. And it talks about those 2 years where, remember, he was in jail and he interpreted the dreams of the baker and the cupbearer. And the cupbearer forgets what he wants from Joseph. He gets a clean bill of health. He gets a good prophecy, a good reading. And then he forgets about him. So the sermon's kind of thing is about where your value comes from. And it's not from your giftings. It's not from your talents. It's from who God made you, you know, what God made you. He loves that. And I'm sitting there crying as I'm listening to me talk. I used to talk a lot faster. I used to talk so fast. I was younger 10 years ago. But I listened to it, tears coming down my face, because I'm like, where was this? Why didn't I remember this? Why didn't I believe this, that God loved me no matter what I did? Because through the depression, what made it so much worse is I lost sight of the fact that God loved me. I guess it was because I was suffering so bad and I couldn't believe that I would suffer if God loved me. You know what I mean? And that seems so bad, but it's so real. It hurts so much. And if you've ever suffered, if you've ever lost a loved one, you've been there. You know what that feels like. And I really got into a place where I'm like, I'm not doing my ministry anymore. I'm not a good father. I'm not a good husband. I'm just a terrible, terrible person. Therefore, I am valueless to God and valueless as a person. And this sermon, I really want y'all to hear it. So I will, no matter where I put it out, I want you to hear it. I will mention it on the show, because it's also, I give a little testimony, and it's about a prayer I forgot that I prayed, where I was so eager to be at the next level with God, to get past the bullcrap and really get to know God. And I asked God to break me. Yeah, I asked God to break me. And I go through some of that. And I'm just, like I said, I'm listening to it, tears coming down my eyes. I'm like, gosh, why did I ever pray that? What in the freak? Because that's exactly what happened. I'm not saying God slapped me with depression, but I definitely became broken. And until recently, as you guys well know, remained broken. But I'm in a place now, I feel like, that I've never been before. I don't know. I don't want to skip to the end, because there's a closing thought that ties into what I just said. So I hope you'll hang in there and listen till the end. Depression-wise, I'm doing okay. Doing good. Not feeling bad. No anxiety. Just normal stuff, you know, worried about tomorrow a little bit, you know. I've been trying to move my medication to a Walgreens that's outside the city, and it's still a huge pain because the lady that works at my doctor's office is incompetent. She's very nice, but she's incompetent, and she sent the prescription that I needed very badly to the wrong one, even though I sent the new location address 3 different times. Finally, she got it there, and they said, oh, insurance isn't going to cover this. This is an early refill. So I had to call her back again and say, you have to cancel the one you sent to the wrong place in order for them to fill the one that's at the new place. And so I did that. And then I called Walgreens, and then I asked them, and they're like, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it for her. So see, they're already getting better customer service than I was in the city. So, but no, I need my meds still, you know, I think so. I think I do. I would like to be med free one day. That would be a great goal to be, but for now I ain't gonna mess with nothing. You know, it's like when you get all the plates spinning on those little poles and you get them all up there, you don't want to mess with them. You want to just go back and forth and keep them spinning so they don't fall off. So I don't want to be jerking sticks out from under poles out from under plates right now. But I'm doing good. I'm leveled out. You know, I'm actually sleeping a little better. I'm going to bed earlier. I actually saw a meme on Facebook. It's pretty funny. It said, sorry, old people, for making fun of you for going to bed at 9 o'clock. 'Cause it's awesome. So I've been going to bed between 9 and 10, closer to 9 every night. And I wake up at like 6:30 or 6 o'clock. I have breakfast and then I go back to sleep for a little bit, you know. Now that's going to change obviously with the new job, but it's good that I'm used to getting up early and going to bed early, you know? So it's not going to be that big of a deal. Family updates. Jen is podcasting with me and you need to listen to it. We're both right.com or look it up in iTunes or Spotify or iHeartRadio or Amazon Music or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're an Android user, I highly suggest Pocket Casts for your listening pleasure. It's a great little app, and that they want you to pay for it, but it is free. And I have been using that because Google got rid of Google Podcasts, and now they want you to use YouTube Music instead. And it stinks. It stinks for podcasting. It is terrible. YouTube Music is great. It's a great service. I get it free because I subscribe to YouTube Premium because I don't like watching ads, and I watch a ton of YouTube. And I can share YouTube Music with my whole family. It's actually a really great deal, but it stinks really bad. I want to use a stronger word, but I'm not going to. It stinks really, really bad for podcasting. So I got Pocket Casts, and it's a great little app. There's other ones out there. You can look them up. But if you're on Android, use Pocket Casts. If you're on Apple, use Apple Podcasts. They still got sense in their brain, and you can subscribe through there. Spotify, obviously, we're in Spotify and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, listen to We're Both Right. It is a fun show. It's totally different now than it was the first few episodes. So even if you were a part of it back in the day, nowadays it's really good and it's really fun. And you really get a feel and a sense for what it's like to be married to James. And it's not as fun as you might think. No. Now you get a sense for who we are as a couple, and we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun. So, the matter of fact, last episode we talked, Jen asked me a series of questions about Florida people and, just to test to see if I could relate to the crazy things that Southerners do. And I did a pretty good job. And we ended up talking about the differences between being raised in the North and the South and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I don't know. We kind of pick a topic every week and kind of bat it back and forth, but we also do weekly updates too, like we do on that story show. So there's always something funny at the beginning, and then the show is just kind of naturally humorous because of the way we pick at each other. So I hope you'll check it out. Jenna will be home on Friday, and the girl texted me out of nowhere. She texted me out of nowhere. So some of you guys know that I've said in the past that things haven't been the same between Jenna and I like they used to be when she was little. And some of that is normal, obviously. But you know, it's just not been the same, okay? And I miss her. I've missed her so bad. But I always text her. I always send her things that I think are funny or think would be interesting to her. Just the pitiful parent that needs the attention kind of stuff. And out of the blue, I've been praying. I've been praying about this. I've been praying for the relationship between me and my kids. I have. And I've been doing it every morning. And she texts me out of nowhere. And she's like, "How are you doing?" And I'm like, wow. So, you know, we just conversated back and forth through text a few times. And I asked her about, you know, does she have any more finals and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But she's dating a Christian guy. And I'm pretty excited about that. He's a little bit country, and I'm a little excited about that too. So I don't know what kind of Christian he is. I don't know. But I do know one thing about him. He has a mustache, which isn't great. But Jenna likes it, so whatever. I don't have to kiss him. And then secondly, he has a rule that he only gets on his phone for social media and stuff like that for an hour a day. And I'm like, oh, okay, so that could be two things. One, he's super legalistic and a butthole. I'm sorry, a butthead. Or he's self-disciplined and he's a good Christian, you know? Because just because you're a Christian does not mean, I mean, there's still, it's like being a Christian is like being autistic. There's a spectrum. You know what I'm saying? There's people that are highly functional Christians, meaning in the world, they still function very well, like me. Who are barely saved. And then there's people that are just, you know, they got the straightest neck and the tightest collar and the nicest tie and the shiniest shoes. And they only listen to gospel music. And, you know, I don't know. So he could be either way, but I got to balance it off the fact that it's my daughter, and my daughter has got brains and sense in her head, and she knows, you know, what Christianity is supposed to look like. She's seen it her whole life. Even though we didn't raise her traditionally in a traditional church, the girl knows what legitimate Christianity lived out in a life looks like. So I would imagine she would be attracted to it when she saw it in a person. So looking forward to meeting him. I'll make sure and give you all the details. At this point, I don't even know homeboy's name. And I only saw a picture of him in the brightness of a track meet that I went to on Saturday and got sunburnt. I'll just back up to health, my depression and health updates. I have a vitamin D deficiency, apparently, which is very popular with depressed people who don't go outside. And I just decided to get it all the vitamin D in one day. And so I sat there under the sun for 4 hours because my son had an event at 9, and then he had a second event at 12. So yeah, sat there a few hours and just not caring about any of the stuff that was going on except for his stuff, you know, waiting. And suddenly I just started feeling burning feelings on my neck. And my nose is lit up like Rudolph. And the most exciting part was when I went to comb my hair. I put pomade in my hair and I combed through it. And it hurt. It hurt to comb my hair. And I realized, James, your hair is still there, but it is thin enough for the sun to bake your scalp. And that kind of, you know, kind of woke me up to some things that I am getting old. Now, my grandfather on my mom's side had hair, and my grandfather on my dad's side had hair. So chances are I'm going to keep my hair. But it will thin. But we'll see. We'll see. I can't stay sexy forever. Okay. You know, yeah, I just can't. All right. What am I watching, reading, playing, and doing? Well, I'm reading a book that's not going to be for anybody but me. I would not suggest it, okay? Because I'm not completely thrilled with the way the book is going. But I'm trying to get out of my routine, and I'm trying to mix and mingle outside of my comfort zone. And so I've got on meetup.com, and I've joined two meetup groups. One is a podcasting group that only meets on Thursdays, which is podcast day. It stinks. And the other one is a fantasy, horror, adventure, book, and movie reading, watching group. Okay? And so they're reading a sci-fi book called Book of Skulls. And it was written in 1974 by this dude, and he won some awards for it. And it's interesting because it's about four friends, and they are driving to the Arizona desert to take advantage of this offer that they found in a old untranslated book from 300 years ago. And they are trying to achieve eternal life. So, but two of them have to die in order for two of them to get the eternal life. And you say, well, why would anybody willingly do that? Well, each chapter is told from the perspective of one of those four guys. There's a rich kid. There's a homosexual kid. There's a jock kind of kid. And then there's like another uppity kid. I don't know. But like each of them has their own reasons. And some of them don't even believe it. They're just doing it for the adventure part of it. So I'm really interested in the ending more than I am getting to the ending. You know what I'm saying? Because you know they're setting themselves up for this big old hullabaloo at the end. But I'm mostly wanting to read it, even though it's not really in my moral wheelhouse. I want to read it because I want to mix and mingle with people outside of the church. Okay. And some of you may argue with me that I'm compromising a little bit. Maybe I am, but you know what? I'm willing to do it because I want to meet real people. And I like scary movies, and I like sci-fi. And I'm about to admit to something else. What are we watching? Well, watching Fallout, which is great. Again, morally questionable, but it's a great show. And I'm watching Rick and Morty. Now, I do not suggest Rick and Morty. It is genius. It is very creative. It is written by Dan Harmon, who wrote Community. If you've ever seen Community, then you know how good of a writer he is. But it is not Christian. But I'm watching it with the wife. I've already seen it all. I watched... Matter of fact, I paid $20 last season so I could get the whole season and not have to wait until it came out on Hulu. But if you've ever seen Rick and Morty, then you know what I'm talking about. It is zany. It is sci-fi. It is crazy. But then it has these deep, dark moments in the main character's life that are just crazy. So I don't suggest it to anybody who is a Christian. But man, it's a good show. Okay. YouTube shorts. I've been watching a lot of YouTube shorts, and I want to introduce you to a girl that I have seen very few times, but I subscribed to her immediately. She has she's from England. She has what they call a Yorkshire accent. And I think it's like their version of a Southern accent. It's very thick. It's almost Scottish. I think she lives in the north. And from what I understand, people from the north kind of get made fun of. Like people from the south get made fun of here. They kind of have stereotypes. But her whole premise on her little Google, her Facebook, YouTube shorts, is that she says that American songs sound like rubbish in a Yorkshire accent, and she'll sing, and she can actually hold the tune. She can sing, But she's not wrong. That accent is prevalent. And it's just cute as crap. And it's my second favorite accent of all time now. First is still Scottish. Love me some Merida Brave. Love that thick accent, but that Yorkshire accent is so great. All right, so here it is. It's M-I-W-A-L-L Bank. So M-I Wall Bank. And I'm sure that means something in her accent, but M-I Wall Bank, as in where you put your money. Check her out. Tell me she's not precious. She's just great. She doesn't care. She's just putting herself out there. Love it. So what am I playing? I haven't played any video games this week. I have been busy. But I bought a game called Gunk because it was, I ran across the developer on YouTube and he was putting out this game, but it was $26 and I don't like spending money on games anymore. But it came down to $7 this week and I went in and bought it. I haven't played it yet, but I want to. And if I don't end up playing it in the next few days, I'm going to return it because I can return games if I've played them less than 2 hours or it's been less than 2 weeks, whichever one comes first kind of thing. And so it's a really good thing. I used to not know that about Steam. Steam is the place I buy all my games. So, but they have a great return policy. Podcast meetups are on Thursdays. I kind of mentioned that earlier. I was really excited. I went to that one, as I mentioned, and it was great. But every other one now is on Thursday at 5 o'clock, and I'm never going to be able to go because that's when I record the stinking show. I know there's a possibility that maybe, see, okay, why don't you move it to Friday? Well, here's the deal. John's day off is Friday. And so I don't want to ask him to come into the office and drive in and then do a show and then go back home. The way it works now is on Thursdays, he just works a little bit more. He says he's always got stuff to do. He's never waiting on me kind of thing. Because it's 5 o'clock my time, 6 o'clock his time. So he's always ready and always good to go. I don't want to move it to Fridays because I don't want to be a pain in the butt. And he would do it. He would do it and he wouldn't care. And I don't want to put him through it because I care. I care about him. So we're going to see. I'm going to try to get the podcast meetups moved is what I need to do. They need to do them on Tuesdays. Tuesday is the only day I don't have something going on. Because Monday is podcast night with Jen. Tuesday is nothing. Wednesday is date night with Jen. Thursday is podcast with John. Friday is nothing. So it could be on Fridays, actually. So maybe I can get them to move it from Thursdays to Fridays. But Fridays is everybody's date night except for mine and Jen's. Ours is on Saturday. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. I'm still trying to get somebody to fix the gutters. I know this is stuff that you guys tune in for. But getting gutter repair seems to be like trying to find alcohol during prohibition. Like I feel like I need to go downtown, find one of those doors with a little slidey opening and give a password to get inside the world of people that repair gutters. But it's just impossible for me to get called back. Like I've called 3 or 4 different places. None of them call back. I don't know. We'll see. Monday, I hope I get some phone calls. That's all I'm saying. But it has rained. It has rained significantly. The gutter cover has worked perfectly that I bought. I think I mentioned last week that I also bought some sort of fake sandbag that inflates with, it absorbs water and it becomes a 3-inch high barrier. That worked perfectly. I even put one inside the door. It's still dry as a bone, so no water is getting into the house. And I am doing a fist pump right now, even though you can't see it. Maybe you could feel it in your soul because that is a big deal to keep water out of the stinking basement. It's terrible. And that's the deal with the gutters is the gutters are open and it's pouring water right down at the top of the stairs going down into the walkout basement. So it's like a beautiful waterfall crashing into these steps going down, and then, you know, blah, blah, blah. So everything's working great. The filter, the little wall barricade, and the new sump pump that we put in, that thing's working like a champ. Every time I hear it kick on, I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercies, Lord. So, same with painters, by the way. I even have a quote out, and I'm working with a lady behind a desk, but I still haven't heard from anybody yet. So I don't know. Maybe I was just too late in the week. I don't know. Maybe I'm terrible on the phone. I like to think I'm very nice. Like Walgreens, I'm having problems with the gutter people I'm having a problem with, and the painter people I'm having a problem with. Maybe I have a voice that just says, ignore me. I don't really want anything. I'm just a happy guy that likes to call people and pretend I have problems. I don't know. So that's about it for today. I hope you've enjoyed this edition of the GOK, my personal audio journal, because it's so personal. Closing thought for today is something that came to me while I was sitting at church today. When God doesn't do what you think he should do, it's like a mystery. You know, it leaves you confused, leaves you wondering what's going on. But in a mystery story, like the book, like the genre, you don't have all the information. You don't know. But at the end of the book, everything is revealed. And then everything makes a lot more sense. And you're like, I should have known it all along. There were clues through the whole story. So couple that with the idea that God has promised to work things out for your good and his glory, for those that are called according to his purpose. And if you're a Christian person, you are called according to his purpose. So I hope if you're struggling, see it as a mystery and have faith that everything will be revealed and that it will make a lot more sense. This episode and all the episodes are brought to you by our supporting listeners from Patreon, with special thanks to Carrie Wright and Carrie Bernhardt. Join the community and become a supporting listener today at patreon.com/GOK. Email your feedback, thoughts, and questions, james@nlcast.com. For everything else, visit gokcast.com. Again, that's gokcast.com. We'll see you guys next week. God bless. Bye.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!